Well, Father, I just thank you so much for allowing us all to come together in this unique fellowship, Lord. Thank you, Father, for letting our hearts together in one accord. Lord, you told me 4 years ago that when we all come into that one accord, that your anointing is going to fall, and I feel very close, Lord. I feel like we're very close, Father. And I ask and I pray that you anoint every one of us, Father, with this light of rain, this form of rain, to the fullness, Lord, to the fullness, and then the light of rain, Father, as we mature. We praise you, Father, for the work you're doing in us and the work you're going to do tonight in us. Lord, direct our steps, guide us, lead us, and Father, we thank you for that. We ask, Lord, that you open up our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears to hear what you have to say tonight, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, for it. I ask, Lord, that you help us to discern the words that you give us, Lord, and to understand what you're telling us, Father. And I praise you, Lord, for all that you do tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, my, my, my. You're awe-inspiring, God. You're magnificent and you're mighty. Your name holds more authority than I could ever conceive. You're stronger than I could ever dream. You are wiser than I could ever comprehend. You are more loving and compassionate than I could ever imagine. You are God and you are above all. And I praise you, Father, for being my God. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, we got any prayer requests tonight? Or if somebody like to pray for someone. Well, y'all believe with me. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for my grandson. He's supposed to be getting out here in a few days. Lord, I lift up Blake to you. And Lord, I thank you that you've done a work while he's been incarcerated. That you've been able to get his attention. And I ask, Father, that you place it in him a hunger for the Word of God and a hunger to walk the walk that you have already ordained from the beginning of time for him to walk, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you lift him up when he falls, and I ask, Lord, that you keep him on that straight and that narrow when he gets out, Lord. And I ask and I pray, Lord, that you place him right exactly where you need him and where you want him, Lord. And that he would be doing your work when he gets out, Father. And I thank you for favor with the officials. And I thank you, Lord, that you'll have he'll have the favor of you, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in Blake. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Anybody else?
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, go ahead, Matthew.
Yeah, I just want to pray and Lord, I bless this fellowship, Lord, and the fellowship you've given us with us here, Lord, and we praise you so much that you've given us this opportunity to come down here and worship with like-minded believers, Lord, and your Spirit being here, and it is awesome, Lord, and we bless this fellowship with all of its people, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else?
Hey, Michael?
Yeah, Kurt, go ahead, brother.
I'd like to pray for Connie. I know that we gave her the number, or took her number down and gave her the number to call so she could be on this conference call too. But it seems like there's so many distractions and the devil's just really interfering with her coming on the call. So I just lift her up to the Lord, and I just pray that the Lord will put it in her heart to be on the call so that she could get the benefit of it and drawn closer to the Lord. Amen.
Amen, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to make a way for Connie to get up here on this conference call. Lord, you know as well as I do, you know even more than I do, Lord, that she needs this fellowship and she needs the prayer strength of everyone here, Father, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, you're going to make a way for her to get up here, and then she's going to be blessed by it, Lord, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Michael?
Yes, go ahead. That's Patricia. Okay, Patricia. Yeah, go ahead.
Hey. I want prayer about whether or not I will. I wanted to come to see Madisonville this Saturday, and I'm trying to find someone who will come with me, and I really don't want to make the trip by myself. It's like 4 hours from here. So I just wanted to ask you and whoever could just be agreed with me in prayer that the Lord will send someone to me who's willing to come and spend the night, you know, just to go to, I think you have Friday night service and then Saturday potluck. And I wanted to attend that if I could. So, but I just want the Lord to send me somebody to as a travel partner so I won't have to come by myself.
Amen. No, we don't have a Friday night service when we have pot blessing. We just we just have the Saturday pot blessing, but we also, on Saturday mornings, we have prayer meetings up here on the mountain. So that's something you can think about as well.
Okay,
well, Father, we just thank you that you're going to do that for Patricia, that you're going to give her a partner in Christ to come up here, Lord, and they're going to have a grand time coming up here talking about you, Lord, and we just praise you for it, and we believe it, and we declare it, and we decree it, and we thank you, Lord, that it's going to happen because we believe when we pray it's going to happen. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone else? What about testimonies and praise reports? Has anybody got a testimony or a praise report that they'd like to brag on God?
It's Patricia again, and I do have a praise report. Well, I think I've already talked to you about some of this, Michael, but I just wanted to give the Lord credit for something that happened 6 years ago, and I almost died 6 years ago. I was within 30 minutes of death, is what I was told after, you know, I came out of the hospital and talked with the, you know, the doctors. So what happened was, well, I won't go into much detail, but someone came to put in another furnace, air conditioning, and anyway, they were not qualified to do the installment, and therefore the hose that, I don't know how they rigged it, but anyway, it came into my house, which led to me being overcome with carbon monoxide poisoning. And so, long story short, I ended up in the hospital. They told me I was already incontinent, you know, whenever they picked me up in the ambulance. And, you know, I'm trying not to go into too much detail because there's a lot of details involved. But the fellow who installed this, he was a Mexican man. And he had gotten in touch with me and told me that he wanted to come by and talk about it because, you know, it did, you know, I had insurance, you know, because I was still working at that time at the hospital. And he said he wanted to come by and talk about it because I think he thought I was going to sue him. And at that time of my life, I really was not real. I mean, I said I was a Christian, but now looking back, I'm not sure that I was because, you know, I think this was a way that the Lord had to get my attention because this happened to me. But so he came and we talked, and he said that he would, you know, pay me for all the monies that I had to pay out due to this you know, whatever you want to call it, this event, you know, of which, you know, the monies that I had to pay out of my pocket. And so the thing, I guess, like I said, I don't think I was truly living for God then, because I was really mad about this happening, because I thought that he, you know, was qualified and to do what he did and or to install. And so I was really putting the blame on him and not really thinking at the time, you know, well, this is a wake-up call for me. And so I looked in every corner that I could to find a way to charge him for the I guess it's a stronger word than inconvenience, but it was because I almost lost my life, you know. And and so I charged him for everything I could think of. I put this on, you know, I had a list of things, you know, that was the days I lost from work, the I can't remember now, it's been 6 years ago, but everything, you know, that was possible, I put on that list, including one charge that the hospital had absolved me of. But I even charged him for that, even though I didn't even have to pay it out of my pocket, you know. So I was, you know, I had forgotten about this. It had just left my memory. I don't know if I tried to push it out of my memory or if it was deliberate or what. But last week, I think it was last Monday, I don't know if I was praying or whatever. But anyway, this came into my mind, and I thought about this. I remembered it, and I thought, oh, no. Because I knew that the Lord in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, you know, it talks about, for one thing, not taking suit against your, well, it said your brethren, but I'm sure it means anyone, I'm sure. But I remembered this, and it just really grabbed my heart, because I thought, oh, I have defrauded this man, you know. Even though, you know, many of the charges were charges that I had to pay out of my pocket, not all were. And so I thought, you know, I have to make this right before the Lord, because I thought, you know, I should have left myself in deficit or in poverty over this, not to have made a gain, you know, by having extracted money from somebody else, you know, who, you know, they thought they were doing, you know, they were doing what they needed to do, I guess. And so, anyway, when this came to my heart, and I remembered it, and I thought, oh, Lord, I have to get in touch with this man. I have to give him back the whole amount of money, even though, you know, I like I said, some of it was charged, you know, out of my pocket. But I felt like the Lord wanted me just to clear it off and make it a testimony, for one thing, to this Mexican man. He was illegal, you know, in our country. So I went to find the information, you know, because I'm a pack rat. I keep everything. And I went to find the information how to get in touch with him. So the only way that I knew for sure that, you know, because I didn't know if his phone number would be the same or whatever. So I called where he worked, and I got his boss. I told his boss, I said, is the so-and-so still work there? And he said, yes. And so I asked him to have him to call me. Well, he did call me the next morning, you know, bright and early. So I told him, you know, that I wanted to talk to him if he would come to my house, because I had some money that I wanted to give him, you know. And he said, oh, yes, he'd be happy to come, you know. So anyway, we met this past, Saturday. This past Saturday, he did come to my house, and I told him, you know, about, you know, me being a greedy grubbing, you know, and that I felt like I wanted to give him back the money. And so I gave him back more than half of the money. Actually, it was $5,000 is what it was, all the total of everything, you know, that he paid me. I gave him back $3,000, and because I was trying to not let him, I don't know, I was trying to cover myself, so because I didn't want him to think that I had actually I guess I was justifying myself and saying, well, I don't want him to think that I really owe him this much money, because I didn't. If you go by physical, you know, if you go by spiritual, yes, I did. You know, if you're going by the Holy Spirit, I owed him the whole $5,000, and that's what I told him. I said, I'll have to pay you the other part, you know, in a couple of months, you know. And so he said, well, you don't have to. And I said, well, I really think I do. So I did. This is the testimony that the Lord allowed me to pay this man, and you know, it didn't bother me not one bit. I didn't feel any greed or regret, and I still have to pay him some more, and I still don't feel it, you know, because it feels like clean. I feel clean in my heart, I guess that's what it is. I learned some things, you know, through that ordeal. And it's amazing that I had forgotten about it all these years until, like I said, recently, last week. And I did journal about it. I don't know if I'll read all that because it's kind of lengthy. But that's the, you know, the overall thing that happened. And I just wanted to say thank you, Lord, that I had no feeling of regret having paid him that. And of course, I still have to pay him more, and I know that I will, and I feel clean about it. So just wanted to give the Lord praise for that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for cleaning our conscience.
Yes.
Praise you, Father.
Yes.
Amen. Lord. All right. Anybody else got a testimony or a praise report?
Michael?
Yeah, go ahead, Don. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I've got a praise report. Saturday afternoon, I was doing some construction work for a restaurant in town, and I on the side, I'd done drywall taping and mudding and texture, that kind of a thing. And it was late in the day, and I was up on a scaffolding about 4.5-5 feet up, and I had a ladder where I was stepping down onto when I, you know, needed to replace things or clean things up. And it was late, kind of tired, and I had a lapse in focus. And I stepped onto the ladder, and the ladder went one way, and I went another way. Came down on my right leg and hyperextended my knee. I thought I was broken, to the point where I was in shock for about an hour. Pain was just excruciating. And, of course, as soon as I could gain my wits about me, I started claiming a healing, but I honestly thought I was broken. Long story short, finally, I had called Deb, and she come and got me. And I haven't had this kind of a spiritual battle in such a long time. I mean, every fearful thought came on me, you know. How am I going to work? How am I going to mow the lawn? You know, and I mean, all that stuff. And but we prayed for a healing, and I got up in the morning and we really got into prayer. And the coolest thing was, honestly, that the Lord showed me why this happened and what he was going to do through it, and how I got freed from a spirit of unbelief. Like, I mean, it was really rooted in me. Years and years of unbelief and trust and just working by the arm of my flesh and that kind of a thing. Well, in the process, you know, the Lord said, I'm going to heal you, but I'm going to be testing your faith in it with regard to my surrendering to trusting him and not so much working by the arm of my flesh. And it's been now 3 days, and I can walk on it now. There's still tenderness and whatnot, but I went to see my chiropractor today, and just to get an exam, just for the point of just being able to pray more correctly if there was damage or whatever. And he could not believe how I went from where I was to where I was today. And I just want to give glory to the Lord for A, being true to his word and bringing healing to my knee, but also, and probably more importantly, that, you know, he's just showing me that this was you know, he allowed this to happen to bring to my attention my spiritual walk and how I was not bending my knee to him and trusting him in all things, and how much I was operating according to my own strength and lack of relationship with him, and that that needed to take supremacy in my life with respect to relationship to him and all the other things. So, you know, it was a double blessing, and I just praise God for that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving Don great and bold faith, Father. We just praise you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Good testimony. Anybody else? I'm sorry, Don. Go ahead.
You said he is so good.
Yes, he is. He certainly is. All right. Anybody else got a praise report or a testimony? Praise report or testimony?
Hey, Mike. This is Mike. How am I coming in?
Oh, you're sounding great, brother.
All right, yeah, I got one of these little Bluetooth speakers. I got a kind of a funny testimony. I had some problems with my car a few weeks back, and I took it to a little local dealer here, and they kept it for a couple of days, and they couldn't fix it. And they kind of swore out that it was going to cost $2,500 for some electrical problems to get the car fixed. They were going to replace all of these parts and all of this stuff. So I was pretty much figuring I was going to have to buy this part. I was going to try to buy it off the internet, but I took it to another dealer. And this time I decided to ask the Lord for favor with these people and favor with the repair. And instead of me buying this part, the part even almost wholesale off the internet was going to cost like $1,500. But the guy, I took it to the service manager. I talked to him before I took it in. Talked to him in his office. He was a nice guy. And he said, well, don't buy the part. Just bring it to us and let us look at it first. And the way things turned out, they were able to fix it without replacing the part. And it ended up costing me $400 instead of $2,500. And it really kind of amazed me that every time you ask the Lord for favor, I mean, you're almost good to go, but it amazes me, too, that sometimes you forget.
Amen. Well, I'm glad you told that, because it reminded something that happened to me this week as well. Same kind of circumstances. We have a tractor, and it's not an old tractor. It doesn't have but 600-700 hours on it. It's all it's got, but or, no, 300-400 hours. But anyway, it's a Mahindra, and the other day David had the tractor down the drive. We got a long downhill drive, and we have these rain catches where it takes the water over to the side and out, and David was cleaning those out on the side of the hill there, and all of a sudden the tractor just quit for no reason. I mean, it just quit, went blank. There was no lights on the panel, no nothing. So he hollered at me, and I went down there, and we kind of looked it over and shook a few things, and it finally came back on, and he finished what he was doing, took it up to the shed, and then when we got to use it again, I took it up to the house. It's going to put some diesel in it, and did that. And then I tried to start it, and it was blank. I mean, there wasn't a light on. I couldn't get a light on. So then I decided, okay. So I started checking all the safety switches and found out they was okay and fixed the ones that wasn't. And fixed the ground strap on it and where it hooks to the tractor, and everything else looked good. And then I noticed while I was fixing, you know, some things, that the lights came back on. I said, okay, praise God, thank you, Lord, and took it down there. And then the next day we was going to take it over and use it at another guy's house. Same thing, lights wouldn't come on. I said, oh my. So we went down to the tractor place, and they don't have a schematic on it. I could have looked at the schematic and probably ascertained as to what was wrong with it, or at least that was my thoughts anyway. And so we hashed that around, and we finally got to talk to the service guy, and he said to check this and check that and check this and check the connection here and check this connection there. And so on the way home, David said, let's just pray that the first thing we check, that that's going to be what it is. And that's what we did. We just prayed that, and we asked the Lord to let that be the first thing that we check. It's going to be the one that fixes it. Well, David had a little work to do in the inside, so I went down and I looked at the, I have a AC, or a DC, you've seen those little checkers with lights on them that when you can hook it up to the ground and go and check your fuses and that kind of thing, the light comes on. Well, I went to hook it up to the ground strap and it sparked and the lights come on. I said, that's good. That's good. Then I knew that that was the problem, that the ground strap on the thing where it hooks to the battery, which is almost brand new, was messed up. And so I fixed that, and it works fine. So that's what happened. The Lord took me right to the problem right away. After 4 days of slaving over it and checking all the connections and bypassing some switches that we didn't need anyway, and you know, that kind of thing. But when you finally, like Mike said, when he finally prayed to have favor, that's what happens. God just shows you what happened, you know, if you pray and ask for those things that you want, he'll do it. He'll do it every time, too. So I just praise God for showing me right what was the problem, right quick what was the problem. That was after 4 days, though, of messing with it. But anyway, all right, anybody else with a testimony or a praise report? All right, anybody got a praise report? Anything they'd like to share tonight?
Hey, Mike, this is Mike again.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Michael.
I was going to go ahead and the Lord led me to continue a little bit on spiritual warfare. One of the scripture sections that I've kind of been told to keep studying and stay on it is Ephesians 6:11-18, the whole armor of God. And I'm going to go ahead, since it's kind of short, I'm going to go ahead and read it and then give a few points on the specific section. So it starts out, Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, withal taking up the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and with all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit, watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now that's basically the section. Once again, for me, this is one of those things, you know, you've been reading the Bible for years and years, and you just kind of read right over it. But it's amazing how much information there is here. This was an analogy created by Paul, who was a Roman citizen, and of course he was a prisoner of the Romans for at least a couple of years. So he was well familiar with the armor that the Roman soldier would wear. I mean, you know, that was, you know, their uniform in their empire. So the citizens would really know what it was all about, and probably, they would be used to seeing it and know the different parts of the uniform and like their team, so they could relate to it. That was the word I was trying to get. So what it has to do with is spelling out the different armor that God has given us for protection and warfare against Satan and his demons in the spiritual realm. So it's a reminder of 6 and 12 that we are not fighting against people. We're fighting against the demons that are driving people that come against us. And we should probably remember that Jesus actually, and it's one of the most amazing things in the Bible, that Jesus forgave the people who were carrying out the crucifixion. He forgave them from the cross. And anytime we kind of think we can't forgive somebody or it's just killing us to forgive them, think about that. I mean, it's huge. So 6 and 13, we understand that we are to take on the whole armor, that we're not naturally prepared to fight this battle. You have to have faith to even believe in the spiritual realm, but then you have to have knowledge and practice to be able to carry out the warfare. A thing that Paul says, I think I read somewhere that says at least 18 times in his letters, having done all to stand. And what that means is like, be the best you can be. It infers that you should be prepared, you should be consistent, and you need to have knowledge from the Bible to conduct your spiritual warfare, to keep yourself free from the attacks of the demon. So the first weapon, 6 and 14, stand therefore having girded your loins with truth. In the Bible, it says it many times, many different places, gird up your loins. And what that means, these guys are wearing those long robes and stuff. I mean, if you wanted to be ready for a battle to, run at people or run away, you needed to tie the long part around your leg. You needed to tie it up in your belt so you wouldn't trip over it or it wouldn't hinder you from employing your weapons. So the girdle for the Roman soldier was a thick belt that went around his waist that gave support to his back and made it possible for him to carry the heavy shield and the sword and the lance. So what that means is that you use the word of truth to prepare yourself for battle. And putting on the breastplate of righteousness is the armor that covers your chest and your stomach. Righteousness means right standing with God through the sacrifice of repentance and the sacrifice of praise. It's the righteousness of faith and not works. You inherit righteousness simply by believing and obeying Jesus. Just recently here, I heard this about this particular verse from a lady that hears regularly from the Lord. She said this is what the Lord said to her about the breastplate of righteousness. That the breastplate of righteousness protects your internal organs, your heart, your soul, your energy sources. As your conscience resides right in the center of your solar plexus, just below the heart, these are to be guarded with great care. How does one put on righteousness? Obedience to my known will. Deliberately transgress my known will, and immediately there is a hole in your armor which condemnation can enter through. You know you did what was not pleasing to me, and now your heart moves from loving me to fearing me. Demons take full advantage of the opening to find myriads of ways to make you feel condemned. But you can fight them off easily if you have obeyed me and you know you are standing in my will. What a beautiful defense this is. Nothing can touch a soul in my will through the breastplate of righteousness. When you are living a life of daily obedience, to the degree that you are obedient to my will and my wishes, to that degree, your breastplate will be ironclad, tight, and impenetrable. And those are the words that she got from the Lord about that particular piece of armor. Now, 6 and 15, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And, of course, one of the things that I always kind of wondered about is gospel of peace, because you don't really see that stated too much anywhere. But one of the concordances that I read made the point that in the New Testament, understanding what it was about, the love of God, the gospel of peace is being at peace with God. Like the previous verse, what was said, you're not afraid of God if you're in His will and you're being obedient, you're at peace with God. So that's why your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, you know, the Roman soldiers had boots, basically. They were sandals, but they were like boots that were tied to their feet and to their lower legs, and they were studded with nails on the ground for traction. And, you know, you put them up against some of the people that they fought against, and they had a lot better traction for warfare, and it helped them in their formation so that they could basically walk over people and nobody could push up against them. So what you're doing, you're being prepared for your walk in warfare for the rest of your life by putting the gospel in you. You have to be prepared to walk the right way. You protect your feet, which is your walk in Christ, to be able to walk far and fast, which means patience and obedience. 6 and 16, wherewithal, taking up the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the evil one. And, of course, those are the evil thoughts and the bad influences that the demons are always attacking our minds with. The Roman shield was a large rectangular shield that was kind of shaped like a door. It would cover the soldier from the neck down to about the mid-shin. And you learn from the gospel by faith in the promises that you can and should fight against the temptations and evil thoughts from the devil. In other words, quench all the fiery darts. That means like flaming arrows coming at you that are going into your mind and your body with these evil thoughts that you're being tempted with by the devils. So the shield of faith is belief in and reliance on the faithfulness of God. In other words, that He will fulfill His promises. So you have to be ready to take a risk like Joshua did. He trusted in the promises, and he wasn't afraid to go into the promised land. 6 and 17, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. The helmet of salvation is the knowledge of and belief in personal salvation. It's the thought pattern that kind of makes you comfortable enough to carry out the warfare and employ the weapons that God has given you to have the faith to do it against the attacks of Satan and his demons. Now, of course, they attack the mind. Your mind is the battleground, so that's why you need the helmet. And that helmet really consists of trusting in God's promises. The helmet signifies hope. And after entering into that hope, and you understand that you are saved, you realize that Jesus is continually saving and forgiving you on earth through the blood covering. And this protects your mind, your soul, and your emotions. Now, the last part, the only offensive weapon really that's needed and that's mentioned, is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. One of the interesting things here, the word, the Word of God, is usually the word logos, but here it is rhema, kind of meaning that it's a specific word for a specific battle. Like you memorize a specific scripture for the kind of warfare you're fighting, like Luke 9 and 1, that you have the power over sicknesses and over demons, etc., given by Jesus. The goal here for the sword of the Spirit is to understand and memorize enough of the word to be able to use it as a weapon against the principalities and power and for the edification of other Christians. And you remember in several places, especially Revelation, that the sword of the word was coming out of the mouth of Jesus. So this is like a spoken word. The offensive weapon is a spoken word from the Bible directly against the demons that are coming against you. So finally, 6 and 18, with all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit, watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So if you're praying in the Spirit, you're in communion with God, which blocks the devil. Praise and joy in the Lord blocks the devil. And of course, like the Roman army with those big square shields, when you get a bunch of those guys together in formation, the enemy could not break through that formation either on any of the sides. They would get in a square formation, and the guys in the middle would put their shields up on top. So they were like impenetrable. And I was looking at that as like a picture of the church. If we pray together, us and Jesus is the unbeatable combination. Nobody can do anything to us, including the demons and Satan. That's Ephesians 11, 6, 11 through 18. That's all I got for tonight.
Amen. Thank you, Michael. That was good. Anybody got any questions or any comments about what Michael's talking about, spiritual warfare? If you don't mind, Michael, I'm going to pray this prayer. I prayed it once before a few weeks ago, and I'd like to do it again if it's all right with you. And it includes the armor of God.
Please.
Okay. Lord, I thank you for the powerful armor that you've given to me. And I come this day to put on the belt of truth. And I acknowledge that I need truth. I need to be dedicated to truth. I need to follow the truth of your word. Lord, I need to make reading your word a priority in my life. If I sincerely open my mind to your word, then I will see the truth about what I need to increase in my life and what I need to decrease in my life. And as I'm praying this prayer, I realize that the enemy of my soul wants to condemn me for my failures. And I declare that I will not let the enemy condemn me for my lack of success, because you are pleased with me when I try. You want me to learn to be content in doing my best. You want me to love myself anyway, just as you do. And I put on the breastplate of righteousness. And I acknowledge that I am able to wear this breastplate because Jesus took my sin and gave me his righteousness. And Lord, I will remind myself today of the enormous price that Jesus paid so that I could be set free. Jesus didn't take sin lightly, and I'm not going to take it lightly either, Lord. And I'll show my respect for you, Lord, by seeking to obey you and seeking to please you this day. I put on the shoes of peace, and I thank you for the peace I have about my future home in heaven. I feel restful and serene when I think about the glorious place where I'm going to spend eternity. Jesus told us that he gives us his peace. And Father God, I want to feel peace in my daily life. I want to feel calm and content as I move through my day. By the power of Jesus Christ, I declare that today I will grow in my ability to live in peace. I will reject worry and fear. And I will remember to trust you through all the circumstances of my day. I will not be moved by what I see or hear. I'm only going to be moved by what the Word of God says, because your promises are true. Your promises are backed by the honor of your name, Lord, and I thank you for them. Now I put on this helmet of salvation, and I thank you, Lord, for my eternal salvation. I thank you for the saving power of Jesus Christ that daily works in my life, helping me to defeat sin, helping me to put on the love of Christ. And I thank you that you are renewing my mind and you're showing me how to defeat all of these wrong thoughts and wrong attitudes. And I thank you that you're taking me from the way I have always been to that godly way, that narrow road that I can be through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I pick up this shield of faith and I'll feed my faith today. My faith will grow stronger this day because I'm going to meditate on your promises that take care of me. And when the enemy sends fiery darts my way in order to discourage me or to get me to doubt you, I'm going to raise my shield of faith and deflect his attacks. My shield is a shield of confidence, Lord, that you are able to take care of me. And I will continually remind myself of your faithfulness. And Lord, I will be unwavering in my devotion to you this day. Now I pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I will give voice to the Word of God today. I will become more and more comfortable speaking out Scripture. Lord, I will remind myself that when I speak your scriptures, your power is unleashed. You have given believers words that's going to change the world. And Lord, I dedicate my mouth to you, and I want all my words to please you. Help me to gain greater control over my tongue. And I declare that today I will use my tongue to bless others, and I'm going to avoid strife and unnecessary conflict. And Father, as I leave this time of prayer, I'm going to be a freshly focused follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. That was good, Michael. Spiritual warfare is something we should be doing every day. Putting on that shield of faith and all of those other attributes of our spiritual warfare life. Amen.
I only got one question, man.
Yes, sir.
How can we get that? That was awesome.
Aha. I'll send it to you. I think I still got it on the computer.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to add, question, or comment about?
Hey, Michael, I have a comment.
Yeah, go ahead, Matthew.
Yeah, I just want to say that is really, you know, true. Being down here, it's really helped my wife and my spiritual battle every day, you know, being around all these loving and caring people. And the Lord's been teaching us how to fight down here. Where when we were up in, you know, Washington, we were trying, but it wasn't going very well for us. But I do say that it is important every day, because it doesn't stop for no reason, and I thank the Lord that it doesn't stop, that he's keeping us in line every day. And so I just wanted to say that. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Okay, anyone else? Anybody get a revelation from the Lord, get a word from the Lord, or did they have a dream or anything they'd like to talk about?
Michael?
Yeah, Wade?
I want to make sure I don't cause any trouble this time, but the verse, I put my
computer to Esau to pick a verse at random, and it picked Isaiah 11:6. We all know the verse. It's the wolf shall lie, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. When did that take place? I don't have a picture of it in my mind where that is. You know, is it right after the day of the Lord, or during the day of the Lord, or when?
Well, David has a good teaching on that, and I don't remember the name of it, but it's not talking. Go ahead, Wade.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
It's not talking about what?
Okay. All right. No, it's not talking about the millennial reign. It's talking about Christians when one accord with each other. There's all different kinds of, now, you know, I'm doing this by memory, so you have to forgive me if I mess up something, but that's what I remember of that teaching. It's just all the Christians coming together in one accord in that respect, and I'll have to look up and try to find out that teaching, and I'll ask David about it. That's what he's talking about in that particular passage.
They shall do no harm on my mountain, on my holy mountain.
Yeah.
So I was thinking it might have just been a small segment of what was going on, because it was on his holy mountain, Dick, where it took place.
Well, who's on his holy mountain?
Isaiah 11:9.
No, I say.
No more. Huh?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be the full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I'm just trying to see some timing in there, but there's other dates that are being set too in the Isaiah 11, and I don't want to get confused. If that book that you're talking about has an audio, I'd like to listen to it.
Wait, did you hear what I said about I don't have full knowledge of it right now, and somebody else may have a little more than I do. But if I'm not mistaken, that's talking about God's remnant, God's holy people, the God's true bride together on top of Zion.
Okay.
Let me look that up, and I'll try to get it to you. Let me make a note of it.
Michael, it's part of the series called The Real Good News. I listened to it recently, but I don't remember which one it was.
Okay, Wade, you are in The Real Good News right now, aren't you?
Not at this moment, but Robert Stanley had me listen to it over and over. I listened to 1-9 several times.
I think there's 24 chapters to that particular that particular book. So just go ahead and listen to the rest of it, and you'll get an understanding of it. I think Linda's right. It's in that Real Good News, and you'll come across it. All right. Praise God. That was
easy.
Michael. Yes.
I have a dream. Not in the sense of a sleepy type dream, but it like Martin Luther King. But anyway, we live out in, probably like you guys, out in the woods kind of thing. And I've often thought, or I've even prayed this and thought of how wonderful it would be if we could, you know, whatever property we got, it would be a refuge for animals. I mean, real animals. I'm not talking about the spiritual meaning. But, a place where animals could be safe from, a lot of the garbage that's being, our benefactors are spraying overhead and all that kind of thing, and all the other curse that's about us. And, I remember David talking about, I think a dream that he had about the different animals that were on this kind of a refuge type of situation, either a dream or a vision that he had. And I think God is giving us authority for that too. you know, if we can stand in faith for it, to actually pray for protection for animals and whatnot. I mean, there's all kinds of curses and threats. There's forest fires. There's you know, all kinds of things that can harm animals. There are lots of animals that are dying from all kinds of things right now. So, for instance, there was a bunch of I'm sure you've read this, but a bunch of birds, that, little kind of delicate birds that were migrating, I think, north. And they ran into a hailstorm, and the hailstorm killed, I think, about 9,000 of them and left a lot of the birds with broken wings so they couldn't defend themselves or get away or whatever. A few were saved by hiding underneath some bridges. But, you know, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about, is because, you know, the curse is all around us, you know, in all kinds of ways or manifestations. So anyway, I'm sure that's not what the Bible's talking about there. It's just kind of a side thought that I've had. I think a lot of us have had that. You probably have too.
Oh, absolutely. We pray for our animals here on this mountain all the time. We don't allow hunting up here, and we pray for them all the time, you know. And we also pray for them throughout this this valley here as well, that God would protect them and keep them and keep the population at a nice level, you know, that would be beneficial to all of them and us too. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah, there have been, as you know, there have been lots of attempts to control population of deer and coyotes and wolves, and usually those kind of attempts don't work out real well because they're, you know, fleshly. You know, they're an attempt by people to do the God stuff. So.
Yeah, that's like reintroducing. Wolves up there in the Northwest where they got a lot of cattle, and they, you know, that just doesn't make sense to me, but that's just the way they are. They don't make sense. Yep, that's what we do. We just pray. Like Mike Green was talking about, we put on that spiritual warfare, that spiritual armor, that body armor, spiritual armor, and we pray for the things that God puts in our heart to pray for. And animals has been one of ours, and also that God's chosen would be, you know, as well taken care of too, all over the world. Amen. Prayer is it should be a should be a base of our Christian walk, and faith to believe what we pray is going to come to pass. And if I get a chance, I'd like to talk about that a little bit later. But right now, let's see if anybody else has anything they'd like to add.
Hello? Michael?
Yeah, Claudia, go ahead.
Okay. Saturday I was reading the Word, and I asked the Lord to just give me something, let it just jump out at me. I just really want something I can grab onto. And so I was reading Psalm 27, and 14 is the verse that really jumped out at me, and it was, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." And then Monday I was reading, and it was Psalm 31:24, and it was, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Let me see, all ye that hope in the Lord." And then today, I was hearing the Sunday night Bible study, and about 4 minutes into it, it was, "Wait on the Lord." So I thought, wow, that's really jumping out at me.
Amen. You know, patience is what God, is one of the great attributes of God, is to teach us patience. That's, you know, that's what he said in his word. These trials and tribulations come on us to work our patience out. Praise God.
Okay.
Well, that's good. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Thank you, Claudia. That was good. Anybody else get a word for tonight?
Michael, I was going to ask if you got any responses to your email regarding the New Madrid earthquake.
Yeah, we we all talked about that, when was that, last week or week before last? And, yeah, they were mostly positive that this was going to happen this year. Yeah, I believe that that's right on to what we've been seeing, too. So, you know, we just have to put it on the shelf till it happens. I believe this. I believe you warn people. You know, I believe that. I believe you have to warn people because you don't want their blood on you, on your shoulders. You know, you don't have to tell them, well, it's going to happen this year. You can tell them, says, you know, it's going to happen soon. And we need to be ready, spiritually speaking. And that's what I tell my people, you know. I've told my brothers and my sisters, natural brothers and sisters, you know, you don't have to believe what I say, but when it happens, give me a call and I'll tell you what you need to do, you know. And I just leave it at that. I don't try to argue with them. I ain't going to argue with them or anybody as far as that goes. I'm just going to give them the word and what the Lord has told me to give them. And let them chew on it. And when it happens, then they'll understand. They'll remember. Say, oh, yeah, I remember Malcolm telling me about that. I remember Michael telling me about that or whoever it is, you know. I better give them a call and find out what I got to do. If they can call, of course, you got to leave. You know, you need to seek the Lord. Find out for yourself what's going to happen because he'll tell you. But anyway, that's generally the way I do it. But yeah, that was a lot of positive word that we got, Malcolm, on the New Madrid happening this year. Very positive. Matter of fact, some of them had, you know, the shakings in it.
Yes, Stephen, I was mentioning some of this to Stephen, and he was he was saying, any word on how long I'm going to be in here?
Well, let him get rid of shake doors. Amen. Does he have any idea when he's going to be getting out?
Well, the sentence was 4 years. So, what is he? It's been a couple. I think it's at least a couple now. They just had their anniversary this last week, 34th anniversary. So, maybe I shouldn't have said it on the air, but anyway.
Yeah. What?
I mean, it's really hard when you think about, you know, for a marriage situation and whatnot. It's just hard.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard. It's real hard. Actually, some of the people get acclimated to that life. I know Blake told me, my grandson told me, he said, you know, after you're here for a while, you kind of feel a little more safe than you did when you were out in the world. And I told him, I said, Blake, don't get used to this place. Don't get used to it. That's not what you're ordained to do, boy. But, yeah. Praise God. He'll be out when the Lord wants him out, right? He may have a work to do there where he is.
Exactly. I've said that, but then I think to myself, yeah, it's easier for me to say that out here and with a lot of freedom, and it's easier for me to pontificate, armchair coaching, you know, whatever. But, do you mind if I share something about Xiaomin, who's a musician in China, that happened to her?
No, go right ahead.
She was actually a large, quite a few of their home church was, they were, you know, the police came in and arrested a whole bunch of them. It sounded like quite a group of them, and all these people in the women's part of the jail where they were placed said, wow, were you guys like a big gang, or you know what kind of what happened, what were you guys doing? They said, oh no, we were just you know, spending time with God. And oh, they said, well following God is good, why did they do that, you know? Anyway, what eventually happened was a very large percentage of those women you know, she was so excited because she stood there raising their hands high to the Lord, saying that they were going to follow God the rest of their lives. And when she finally left, there were so many tears and lots of hugging. And the people left behind said, please come back and visit us, you know. And she said, she he didn't care if she had to spend the rest of her life there, if God could do this, you know, for these other people.
Amen. Yeah, they have a wonderful church over in China. That's good. Thank you, Lord.
I've just been, you know, I went back to reading part of Jesus in Beijing, which is a book that a former Times correspondent, actually the bureau chief for Beijing, formerly wrote this book, as you know. And it happened to come out in the same month as Soul of China's, you know, famous DVD came out, DVD series. And so that kind of, it looked to the government like it was a, you know, Western operative operation type thing, because it was too coincidental, the timing was too perfect. So they figured it was like hold on just a minute, I've got to mute myself just for a second.
Yeah, okay, we lost. What happened. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I had to mute myself because I had a loud buzzer going off. I had to turn off. Anyway, yeah, I rigged up a buzzer that whenever the pump goes dry, it screams at me, which is good. But anyway, as I was reading this, it's just amazing stuff that's in that book. But one of the things, you know, I kind of was looking around on the internet to find out kind of what's going on now, but I guess a husband and wife tried to, they stood in front of some bulldozers that were coming to bulldoze their church down. And I'm sure you've all heard about this already. But the bulldozer, the guy, one of the guys that was running the equipment told the others, he said, "Don't worry, I'll be responsible for their lives. We'll just push them into a hole." So they pushed them into a hole and then buried them with the church debris. And the pastor got out, but his wife suffocated to death. So anyway, under international pressure, subsequently the two people that were involved in that destruction derby there were arrested. But, you know, and, you know, we can question the appropriateness of resisting, you know, destructive process. For one thing, church buildings are not, you know, that's part of the old school, you know, you've got to go to church and church is a building and all that kind of mentality. So, you know, I think it was a little, well, let me not pass judgment. Anyway, we'll, I think, I just look at the people there and I think, man, who of us in the States could ever, you know, and I know God loves all people, but it seems like God has a special plan for that country and for those believers, you know, in the future in the world. So, anyway, I talked about that a lot before. It's just that I'm,
well, what I understand, that's the fastest growing church in the world is the one Chinese church. They're growing astronomically because of the suffering that they go through.
Yeah, and what's awkward is so many of the government officials are becoming Christians, and you know when
that's cool.
When the book and, you know, when the book and this video, what they did was, of course, the video, the DVD is all in Chinese. It's in Mandarin. But the book was in English. But like the author said, they didn't even get permission from him to translate it into Chinese. What they did is the Chinese government translated it into Chinese and then went over it with all their government officials, some of the top leaders. So he said, they didn't even get permission. That's illegal. But anyway, but anyway, what was interesting was a lot of the leaders said, well, this is bad. This is bad for China. How is this bad for China? So it's just, it's funny how, you know, Satan will try to resist and somehow God always turns it around.
Amen. And Lord, we just thank you for your faithful people over in China. We just send out a prayer for all your chosen over there, Father, that you'd protect them and keep them, Lord, and put them in the places where they do the most good for the kingdom, Lord. And we just praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, I've read some pretty horrific stories of the things that goes on over there for the last 40, 50 years. And it's been atrocious the way they've been treated. What in the world was that? But anyway, can y'all hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay.
It was a Morse code interception.
It sounded like it. It sounded like the Russian woodpecker.
Yeah, it did, didn't it?
Yeah, that's kind of what it sounds.
The Russian woodpecker.
Yeah.
Which turned out to be, later we found out, was just a, over the horizon radar.
Yeah. Okay, anybody else get a word? Well, I got Jeremiah 44, and I'm going to start out in 11. My finger was on 12, so I'm going to start out in 11. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for evil, even to cut off all Judah, and I will take the remnant of Judah that have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, and they shall all be consumed in the land of Egypt, shall they fall. And they shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine. They shall die from the least even unto the greatest, by the sword and by the famine. And there shall be an execration and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach. What I got out of this is, in the days ahead, right now, God wants us to start believing Him. He wants us to start exercising our faith for the things that we need, and quit going after the world for the things that we need. I'll tell you a little story, and maybe this will help you understand. When I give, I don't tell anybody. I just give, do whatever the Lord tells me to do. And y'all have heard me talk about the Lord multiplying money in my billfold. And if He's done it once, since I've been in Tennessee, He's done it a number of times. And just here recently, I'm not going to tell you how much it was, but it was a significant amount that showed up in my billfold that I didn't have before. And it was because of doing what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. You know, when He tells you give without even questioning it. You just do it. If you see a need, you give. You know, that's what the Lord does. Don't ever worry about how much you got. Don't ever worry about this thing leaving you because you might need it later. Don't worry about that kind of thing, because God can replace it with something better or more of it. Praise God. So that's what God's doing. He's wanting us to quit going to Egypt and start trusting Him, just like who was it a while ago that had the testimony? Anyway, like I had with the like Don had with his leg, you know. Lord was was doing him a work in him to get him to believe Him, and He did, and God has blessed him mightily, and the Lord has done that with me. All my walk is to believe Him, to have. And you know something, the Lord gives us the faith to believe. And so why don't we exercise that faith and do what the Word of God says? Because in the day, what you're going to do, what are we all going to do when you can't buy or sell anything without the mark of the beast? Are you going to go back to Egypt then? No. You're going to have to believe him. So why not go into this thing already? You know, David talks about that in his series called Wilderness Living. He talks about multiplying the spaghetti. Y'all remember that? And the time that they all sat down at the table and his wife said, we don't have any food and we ain't got no money to get no food. He said, well, that's what you want us to do? He said, sit down, go ahead and set the table and sit down at it. And they all sat down there. And they all and David prayed this little prayer. He said, Lord, either fill our plates or fill our stomach. And that's what he did. He filled their stomach. And God can do supernaturally above and beyond anything that we can think about, you know. So it's a miraculous walk when you start trusting God, believing God will do what he says he'll do. Forget about the world. The world's not going to do anything but kill you. That's the truth. Malcolm was just telling us about people over in China being sent to prison because they're Christian. That's the way it's going to be here. So we'll have to trust the Lord to protect us. We'll have to trust the Lord to provide for us. We'll have to trust the Lord to heal us and deliver us. So let's walk into this thing already trusting the Lord, and then you'll be in the bride, and you'll be able to teach other people how to do it. I believe that with all my heart. I've seen him multiply. I'm not talking about just $10 or $20. I'm talking about hundreds of dollars. That's what I'm talking about. God can do it. He can put anything in your pocket that he wants to, but we have to believe him for it. We have to believe that God would do these things for us. And the only way you're going to get that belief system is to renew your mind with the Word of God and pray and seek the Lord in these things and commune with the Lord. And praise God, when you do that, you're going to see a miraculous walk. You'll be able to tell other people, hey, listen, you don't have to believe that. You don't have to believe what the doctor said. You don't have to believe what the bank says. You don't have to believe this or that or the other. All you have to do is have faith in God. And he'll take care of you. All the way. All the way. He's never turned me down. He's never failed me yet. And he won't. Because he's going to back up his word to those who believe. You can't be double-minded. You can't ask yourself, well, what if he don't? What if he doesn't do that? What if he doesn't do this? What if he doesn't do that? Well, God's not a liar now. If he says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. It's up to us to believe it or not. If you believe it, you're going to walk a miracle walk with God. It's going to be a supernatural walk with God. I guarantee you. I've seen it happen too many times. He's done it with all. I'm sure most of y'all have seen supernaturally God do things in your life. If he'll do one, he'll do them all, won't he? Amen. He'll cleanse your heart. He'll make you holy. He'll heal you. He'll deliver you. He'll set you free. And he'll provide for you. And he'll protect you. But you have to have that faith that he gives you. And you have to exercise that faith. Amen. You know, when I opened up my billfold and I saw what he had done for me, you know, I just, oh my goodness, Lord, thank you so much. Thank you, Father, that you remember little old me down here, little old farm boy from Arkansas. He knows what you need. He'll take care of you. That's the God we serve. He loves us. He's not going to let us down either. We might let him down, but he's not going to let us down. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Oh, wait a minute. Let me read this. Did I read that? Yeah, I did. That's what got me on the soapbox. Okay, so stay out of Egypt, y'all. Let's stay with the Lord. Spiritual warfare, like Mike Green was talking about. Let's do that every day for each other. Amen. All right, Don, you want to say something?
Yeah, Michael, this is Deb. Appreciate what you shared. The Lord has really put it on our hearts to step out in faith more, too. And just listening to your testimony about what God did with you just helps build my faith to expect more. Because I'd never thought about God doing something like that with your wallet. We had just listened to a message by Eric Ludi. It's from Ellerslie College. And he was saying in there that the Jews really troubled. They were really upset with Jesus for talking about faith, forgetting people of their sins. But they didn't have as much trouble with him healing. They accepted his healing. And he said, Eric pointed out that we today have a real hard time with healing, but we don't have a hard time believing that Jesus heals our sins or forgives us of our sins. And that really got me thinking. And the more I thought about it and the more I prayed about it, I was reminded of what Jesus said to so many of those generations, that they were an evil, unbelieving generation, and how they were looking for signs. And as I thought about that, I thought about how when we ask Jesus to come in and forgive us of our sins, there's not necessarily an outward sign at that moment. Of course, we see fruit, and of course, some people experience a lightness and a peace that they've never done before. But when you're praying for healing, people just expect that, you know, that limb to look better or the swelling to go away or some outward sign. And this is from Oswald Chambers, and it's May 26th, and this is My Utmost for His Highest. And he wrote here, think as Jesus taught, pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. We think rightly or wrongly about prayer according to the conception we have in our minds of prayer. If we think of prayer as the breath in our lungs and the blood from our hearts, we think rightly. The blood flows ceaselessly and breathing continues ceaselessly. We are not conscious of it, but it is always going on. We are not always conscious of Jesus keeping us in perfect joint with God, but if we are obeying him, he always is. Prayer is not an exercise, it is the life. Beware of anything that stops continuous prayer. Pray without ceasing. Keep the childlike habit of continual prayer in your heart to God all of the time. Jesus never mentioned unanswered prayer. He had the boundless certainty that prayer is always answered. Have we, by the Spirit, the unspeakable certainty that Jesus had about prayer? Or do we think of the times when God does not seem to have answered prayer? Everyone that asketh receiveth. We say, but, God answers prayer in the best way, not sometimes, but every time. Although the immediate manifestation of the answer in the domain with which we want it may not always follow. Do we expect God to answer prayer? The danger with us is that we want to water down the things that Jesus says and make them mean something in accordance with common sense. If it were only common sense, it was not worthwhile for Jesus to say it. The things Jesus says about prayer are supernatural revelations.
Amen. Praise God. That's good. That's good. Thank you, Lord. You know, you can't pray without faith. There ain't no way you can pray without faith. Oh, you can pray without faith, but you're not going to get your prayers answered, are you? Just like Deb was talking about. Anytime that you hang on, get my thoughts straight here. When you, in any study of the principles and the procedures of prayer and its activities, the first place must necessarily be given to faith. That's the initial quality in the heart of any Christian who attempts to talk to the unseen. That was by E.M. Bounds on prayer. You have to, out of helplessness, you kind of stretch forth your hands of faith when you pray, and you got to believe where you can't prove, right? So prayer is simply faith claiming its natural prerogatives, and it's faith taking possession of our inheritance in Christ. You can't have prayer without faith. You know what faith does? It does the impossible, because it brings God to undertake for us all the things that we ask for, because nothing is impossible with God, right? And if you can get doubt out of your heart and unbelief out of your heart, everything that you ask of God is going to come to pass. And prayer projects faith on God and God on the world. Only God can move mountains, can't he? But you know what moves God? Faith and our prayers. Let me say that again. Only God can move mountains. But faith and prayer move God. Y'all remember when the Lord cursed the fig tree? And he demonstrated the power that he had? And he then told him, said, and declared that large powers were committed to faith and prayer. Not in order to kill, but to make alive and to bless, right? Praise God. What did he say in Mark 11:24? He said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe, he said, that you received them. That word receive is supposed to be past tense. In the originals it was. They changed it. So just put your D on the end of that. Receive them, and you shall have them. Believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And that's faith that already realized that it's already taken place, right? And you have to ask yourself, is your faith growing, or is it declining as you go along? I pray it's growing. Does your faith stand strong and four square? Because you know what's happening, don't you? Iniquity is abounding. It's getting worse and worse out there. And the love of all, if you noticed in the headlines, the love that people have lost in their hearts all over this United States. It's becoming a war zone out there. I was looking at some statistics the other day about murder and suicide rates in this country is astronomical. Iniquity has abounded. So we have to have our faith maintain its hold in our daily prayer life. I'll tell you something else that you need when you have faith. You have to bring trust in there with it. That trust has to go along with it, because if you don't have trust, you don't trust God that he's going to fulfill what he said he's going to do in his promises, then you're not going to have anything answered. Listen, faith opens the way for prayer to approach God. But it does a whole lot more than that. It accompanies prayer at every step it takes. That's what faith does. And when you make your request to God, it's faith that turns that asking into obtaining. That's when you get it. So faith naturally, it's a natural thing for faith to follow prayers, right? And that's what makes us a spiritual warrior for God. Because faith makes prayer strong. And it also gives us the patience to wait on God. You don't have to see it done. Listen, Deb was talking about, you don't know when you pray for a healing, say, you don't know what's going on inside your body. Man, them them little organisms inside your body's already started working to healing you. You know, it might take a little while. I don't know. Whatever. It's a trial of your faith. That's what the Lord said, for to work out patience in you. So that's what we have to do. We have to endure in our faith when we pray, right? So a lot of times our faith is weak.
Michael?
Yes.
There's the scripture, 2 Timothy 2:13, and it says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. And I think that's the way it says it in the numerics, and I think in the King James, it says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And I guess that's kind of one of the scriptures that I have kind of hung on to whenever my faith was weak. And I would say, Lord, you said if I'm too weak to have any faith left, that's how it says it in the New Living Bible, if I'm too weak to have any faith left, you will be faithful to yourself because you cannot deny who you are. And that's always helped me whenever, in fact, there are times that I'm, you know, struggling in my faith. And, of course, I know that reading the Word is to increase our faith, you know, staying in the Word. But it does say also in, I think it says something in Romans too, I've forgotten what chapter, maybe chapter 8, something like that. It says, so what if some did not believe? Did this nullify God's intention? I'm not wording it exactly the way it says it, but did this make void God's plan because some did not believe? And you know, that has been a question of mine. Is it God's faith that he gives us that we use, or is it our own faith that we gather from having been in the Word? I mean, I don't know if that's a question that is kind of counter. Can be taken either or whatever, you know. But sometimes I've wondered if, Lord, I need you to give me faith to believe this. And sometimes I just don't always feel like I have it. But I do realize that I've got to keep myself in the Word to get that word in me, because that's where faith is going to come from. And but anyway, I just thought that was an interesting scripture about, you know, in 2 Timothy 2:13, which says, even if we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. So anyway.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yep. We just ask the Lord. That's where faith comes from. It comes from the Lord. Mm-hmm. Somebody asked me the other day, said, when I told them that trust comes along with faith when you pray, and wanted to know what the difference is between trust and faith. And I tried in my immutable way to try to explain it to them. But listen, trust is faith that has become absolute, confirmed, and completed. That's what trust is. And trust, yes, is firm belief. It is faith in full flower. That's when you trust the Lord implicitly to do what he says, you know. That's part of faith. It's part and parcel of faith. Both of them work together. And when you trust the Lord, then your faith will come into action.
And I read this just the other day about, it says, faith is believing in that which is contrary to what is natural. And that really struck me, because I thought, exactly, because if you can't see what you're believing for, you know, you have to believe in the thing which is contrary, which is the unseen world, or the thing that you can't see. That is how we what we see is around us is natural. We see all the things that, you know, are natural to us, but they're contrary to the spirit realm. And so when you believe for something that is contrary to what you see, that's where your faith comes in.
Amen. Yep, that's where it comes in. So we're seeing here that trust and faith go together in our prayer life. And we know that trust and faith work together in our prayer life.
Michael?
That trust, yes?
Oh, excuse me, go ahead.
That trust that trust, when you trust the Lord, like he asked you to do, you trust the Lord, that's faith in action. You just know that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. You sit back and you rest in that knowledge. That's what he wants us to do. That's part of that sabbatismo rest, is trusting the Lord. Go ahead, Linda.
Well, what helped me with this faith business, you know, when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of our lives, God gives us his measure of faith at that time, or we couldn't even be saved. That measure of faith is enough to move a mountain. Like if people really didn't grow any more than that, God's faith is in them to move mountains. God says we grow in faith. And of course, my understanding is, you know, I'm in the Word from Genesis to Revelations over and over. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. But that helps me to know that that measure that we received when we accepted Jesus is enough to move mountains for anything that we need, but we grow in that, you know, somehow. But since it's God's faith, it always works. And I was so relieved when I understood this, because I never thought I had enough faith. Well, we don't. We'll never have enough faith. But God gave us his faith, and we'll never lack. So I just wanted to add that, because that sure helped me when I finally understood I was using God's faith. I was activating it by speaking the Word of God, or, you know, or whatever I needed. So I just wanted to add that.
Amen. Well, that's the key right there. You can say you have faith, but if you don't act on it, then there is no faith. So she's right. You have to act on that faith. You have to be a doer of the word, as he says. So he says, confess Jesus before men. And so when you do that, the Lord Jesus has healed me. Doctor, I don't need all that medicine anymore. You know, the Lord Jesus has protected me. I don't have to worry about what's going to happen in the days ahead, because God's got me in his hand. You know, and we don't have to worry about earthquakes and volcanoes and all of that stuff, because God has got us in his hand. And we're using faith. We're using the faith that he gave us.
Yeah.
I want to add to that, Linda, thank you for that, because I always wondered, is it my faith? Because Jesus said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. And I'm thinking, well, is this my faith, or is it God's faith that I'm using? So, and even reading the scripture you were talking about, that we've been given the measure of faith, and I thought, well, the, does it mean it comes from God, or is it something that I get from gathering the word to myself?
Thank
so
God
that really helped me.
Well, it sure helped me, honey, because I never thought I had enough faith. I think, oh man. And then when I understood, you know, when you're saved, you're healed, because healing comes in the same package. And I understood that when I finally understood salvation means sozo in the Greek. And sozo means you're saved, spirit, soul, and body,
You're healed, spirit, soul, and body. You're delivered, spirit, soul, and body. You're made whole, spirit, soul, and body. And you're preserved, spirit, soul, and body. That is what salvation means. And, of course, it means everything was done by the death, burial, and resurrection 2,000 years ago and by Jesus' stripes. So if we could just get used to knowing everything's done, and we activate it by saying, thank you, Father, for healing me on the cross or by your stripes. That's activating it, and we receive it. You know, it's manifested. But literally, if we're saved, we're healed. If we're saved, we have no problems. Because by faith, the measure of faith that God has given us, we can knock out circumstances that try to hit us, to put us down. And just now, I'm at a point, well, it has to work every time because it's God's faith. Praise the Lord.
Yes, amen. Thank you.
You're welcome, hon.
Amen. I know you ain't teaching, are you, Linda? No. Oh. I know you ain't going to do that. No. Everything that she talks about is in the real good news.
Praise God.
All of that is, every bit of that. Praise God. Thank you, Linda, for bringing that out. I was just kidding about that.
Oh, good. Well, yeah. Well, I tell you what, I'm just so relieved we're using God's faith, not our faith. And we just stay in that word and grow. But anyway, I'm just thankful.
Amen.
Yeah.
Anybody else got any comments or would like to add something?
Hello, Michael.
Go ahead, Daniel.
I was just going to share the verse that I got this morning. Well, actually, my finger didn't end up on a verse, but I was Jude is where I was. And the very first verse, or the number 3, what caught my attention, it says, contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. And so if we're going to contend for the faith, we have to strive after it. And I thought that was an important verse. And then I thought this verse 5 kind of went with the scripture that you shared, and I think you were in Jeremiah, but this is verse 5 from Jude. It says, now I desire to remind you, though ye know all things once for all, that the Lord, having saved a people out of Egypt land, the second time destroyed them that believed not. And that was because they were doubters and complainers, and even though they saw all those wondrous things, they still fell back into doubt and unbelief. And then verse 20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Anyway, I thought those verses, that's kind of where I was this morning by random, and I thought they really went with what you were sharing and with everyone else. And another one also, Claudia was talking about waiting on the Lord, and that's, the Lord's been really speaking to me about waiting on him, and there is a verse that I have shared so much with young people that are, well, in the prisons, and Isaiah 30 verse 18 says, but the Lord still waits for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for him to help them. And the thing that I was seeing in that verse, it's the Lord waits and we wait. He waits for us to come to him and then we wait for his help. But you know, so much of the time we just think my patience is, I guess, much too short, and I just want an answer much sooner. And he's just saying to wait on him. But then I was thinking back, how long did he wait for me to come to him with whatever it was that I came to him? You know, many times we go many different avenues before we come to him. And I guess that's all I was going to share, but I've been blessed by everything this evening. Thank you. Thanks to everyone very much.
Amen. Thank you, Gaino. You haven't had any words, have you? Any words from the Lord?
No, not recently. I haven't, no.
Okay. Praise God. Thought I'd ask.
Yeah, they've just been for me.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay, good word. Good word. That one in Isaiah 30 and 18, that'd be a good one to share with not only prisoners, but other anyone. Praise God.
It was that, one that it did really bless them. You know, it's like, you know, I think so many times they think they're in the place where they are and they think that He has no love or compassion for them. But that was a verse that spoke to so many, and it has spoken to me over and over and over. And I guess I shared it from the New Living, and just because it's worded so that it was easy for them to understand. But it says the same thing as it does in the ASV. So anyway, thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, there's a verse. I'm not sure where it's at right now, but it says to have God's faith. In the numeric, it's worded that way. In the others, I think it says something else. But
amen. Yep. Gosh, I saw that today. Is that in John or 1 John? I don't remember. Anyway.
It's the fig tree where Jesus was talking about the fig tree.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord. I figured somebody would know where it was. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share or would like to pray about something?
I have actually a question, and maybe this isn't the right place, but maybe I can bring it up anyway. There's a text that I have wondered about for years. And that is... Well, first of all, let me just set something I've set out, something for you that I've noticed. When I listen to recording, say, from years ago as another ministry, and then you folks, say, I'll listen to recording this so it's not in real time, but I'll pray for people as though I'm listening to a live call, and I feel like the Lord is, you know, is there for that and listening to my prayer for that person as I join in with my brothers and sisters. My question is, how far, if I listen to a recording a year later, okay, you see where I'm going with that. So so here's my question. My question is regarding Paul, one of his epistles, he says, why then do we pray for the dead? And he asked the question two or three times. So I'm wondering, I'm wondering how far back we can pray. It seems like 1,000 years back is pushing it, but you know, and I don't want to try to argue for the doctrine of purgatory or anything. I'm wondering what Paul's talking about there. And I know, you know, I doubt that he's talking about spiritually dead. You could interpret it that way, but. So anyway, that's just a question that expecting an answer.
What's the scripture?
You know, I don't know. It's why then do we pray for the dead if something? And then he repeats the question two or three times in that epistle. He's arguing about some. He's making a point. I'm sorry, I'm outside. I'm digging in dirt, so I don't have it right. And you know, I have to say I haven't put time into studying that out or even looking at what commentaries have to say or anything.
So okay.
I don't know if anybody might have a little light on that.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, let's all ask the Lord about it for, what is this? This is Tuesday. Let's ask the Lord about it for Thursday night. Let's make that a subject for the Lord to answer for us. Look up that scripture and hopefully if I find it, I'll email everybody. And hopefully we can go over that and see what the Lord says. How's that?
Michael, I don't know if it's timely. You know, I it's just a question I've had, and I don't know that it's something I can table. You know,
it might be a simple answer to it. I'm not right now. Nothing comes to mind. So anybody got any prayer requests before we close out? Okay. Well, Lord, we thank you again for a lively discussion night. And Father, we just ask that you lay it on our hearts, Lord, to bring up subjects like Malcolm brought up and other people have brought up that would get us to thinking and get us to praying and get us to acting on these strange scriptures that seemingly are strange. Lord, I'm not real sure which one he's talking about, but you do. And I ask, Lord, that you give us some answers for Thursday night. And also, Lord, that you would give us all new revelations for Thursday night, too. Give us a word that would tell us what you want us to know, Lord. Because everybody gets a word, it's something added to what you want to tell us, Lord. And I thank you for that. And I ask, Lord, that you be with us, protect us, and give us a good night's sleep tonight. In the name of Jesus. Lord, you're a good God. And I thank you, Lord, that you've provided for us this spiritual armament that you've given us. And Lord, place it in our hearts to utilize it every day. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for being our God. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us. And thank you, Lord, for loving on us and putting the love of God in our hearts for each other. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Good night, saints.